Thank you.
Thanks,
Femi.
So swine flu, or H1N1, depending on how you refer to it, is spreading across the globe. And the World Health Organization says containment is not possible at this point. There are cases from Mexico to Israel to New Zealand, about 60 cases here in the United States. Joining us now is Guy Martin, senior correspondent for security for Condé Nast Traveler. He's here in the studio. It would appear that at the very least, and we do have our first death in the United States from swine flu, confirmed by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, a 23-month-old child in Texas, that all of these travel locations, these airports and border crossings are, in theory, potential data collection points for figuring out where this virus and where this epidemic is going. But are the tools there to actually do anything constructive?
I don't think so. The SARS epidemic in 2003 really was the kind of the test case for this. And the Canadians deployed a bunch of scanners and did all they could in airports and were just unable to discover actually infected people. The trick is,
what does a scanner do? Just describe to me the experience of being in one if I was actually pointed to go into some booth or something.
I think it takes a couple of seconds. They just take a thermal image of your body and that's it.
And it's one of those booth things?
I think it's a portal.
It's a portal. I see.
I think it's a portal. I mean, there are different incarnations of this. But
and what's it measure?
Body temperature.
Just body temperature, period.
Yeah.
Is it complicated trying to work on technology that would be effective in an instance like this?
This was developed to discover breast cancer. These scanners were begun that way. But when we have an array of thermal sensing, military aircraft have it, everybody's got it.
So this is just thermal sensing put to a application, which actually isn't terribly constructive, in your view.
No. I mean, it's the Asians like it, and those airports have a kind of throughput that maybe it helps them sort of isolate. It's a screening thing, you know. It's a device to help you get the people out that you might think of the population mm-hmm. that you might think are dangerous. But I don't think that's the World Health Organization did a study after the SARS thing, and I just don't think it worked all that well.
Short of someone who's actually in the stage of like a full Ebola bleed out there in the terminal, I mean, what do you do if somebody has a temperature of 104? Do they actually get taken into a special room by security?
The CDC has got some people at the airports now, and I think that what they're doing is personal screening. There are kind of two methods of screening that I think are very, very debated in security. One is the personal method, and the other one is the mechanical method. I mean, that works for terrorism. It works for smugglers. It works for everything. But I mean, I think that the personal approach is probably going to be better. They're going to have some people there, some medical professionals there, looking at folks and seeing if there are signs. Questions, I'm not sure, are going to really help all that much. But
you know, we fall in love with our technology and our sensors and all of these data collection machines that we have. But Dr. Tony Fauci yesterday on this program was saying that the low-tech observational techniques are at least as powerful. And even yesterday we spoke with a CDC quarantine station officer at JFK Airport in New York who said that, yeah, the low-tech stuff is actually more important. Observations and questions.
That is completely the point that the CDC is making now, and that's what they're doing. It's really, I think, the best way. It's the human brain is just far more complex than any machine, and it's going to be able to read more, you know, in terms of faces, in terms of facial expressions, in terms of body posture. You know, these kinds of screenings, we can work a long time before we get a smart camera that's going to be able to tell us that stuff.
Now, people at airports sometimes are, because they're so conditioned to go through these sensors, maybe don't ask or answer questions in the same forthcoming way as they might have, you know, pre-9/11. Is it possible that these machines and our reliance on them actually encourages the spread because we aren't relying on old-fashioned techniques?
The questions that are being asked are really more about pausing the person for the personal screening. I think the personal screening is more of an observational thing. That's the first part of the answer to your question. Secondly, I'm not sure that the machines, you know, with the throughput that we've got at our airports, and let me just talk about volume for a second.
Sure.
Domestically, we were looking at some stats a little earlier, 679 million passengers inside the United States last year. So any practice that you lay on top of the screening apparatus that we've now got is another complication, another little bit of a slowdown, another little bit of a drag on the economy. And in fact, some French officials and some World Health Organization people, again, in the follow-up to SARS or in the analysis of the SARS epidemic, thought that all it did was really slow up the economy. It had nothing, the screening had at airports had no effect on the spread of SARS.
Really? In Mexico, the Associated Press in Mexico is estimating that the shutdown of activities in Mexico City alone is costing the economy $57 million a day. If there are border closings and increased vigilance in the ways that you've been familiar with in the past, what are the costs?
Well, I mean, I think we're looking at borders in the wrong way, you know. What I mean by that specifically is that the virus does not care where the border is.
Yeah, well, that's obvious.
And so it's going to go with the people, wherever the people are going, wherever, because the outbreak accidentally, or in this case, you know, the viral outbreak happened in Mexico. Obviously, there's a lot of traffic between Mexico and the United States. We are the Americas. And the virus looks at the continent of the United States, if you will, if we can personify or anthropomorphize the virus a little bit, as like an opportunistic thing. Oh, hey, this dude's getting on this plane. He's going here, or he's getting in a truck, or he's getting, you know, and these people are going to Mexico City, or these people are coming back. There is no border.
And with more than 6 billion people on planet Earth, there's an enormous landscape out there for viruses. Again, to take the virus's perspective, there are all kinds of hosts, and borders really matter much less than this enormous biomass called humanity.
Well, absolutely. I mean, then that's the opportunistic part of it, right? I mean, that's the way that that works.
So do you agree with the World Health Organization? Containment is not possible?
I think each country has to have a response. Otherwise, we'd be crazy. I mean, we'd have to, if we don't want it to become a pandemic. I think now it's an epidemic, right? Mm. Classified as an epidemic. Mm.
So, does it also raise kind of interesting questions around sort of profiling as well?
The profiling is, you know, it's the same. Whether you're looking for somebody that's sick or looking for somebody with a gun or looking for somebody with a bomb, it's the same. It is a police technique.
Mm. And with costs and with uncertainties, and indeed, when you're talking about viruses, the number of suspects is in the hundreds of billions, and that's just the, you know, what your hand can hold.
Well, exactly. It's not as if you're trying to isolate a person with a bomb or with malicious intent. These are ordinary people, and you're trying to isolate someone medically. That's a far more difficult sieve to put over the population than just looking for somebody with a knife or a gun.
Hmm. Security is perhaps a state of mind rather than an actual tactic at this point. Guy Martin, senior correspondent for security for Condé Nast Traveler. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, John.
As we've been reporting, the CDC confirms that the swine flu has killed the first person in the U.S., a 23-month-old child in Texas. It may have you worried about your own child, but here is a takeaway.
It's a very bad idea just to go to the doctors with a mild fever, because that's the place to get infected, because everybody will go there with their infected kids and their infected older people. So one of the places that you're going to be able to catch this virus, if you haven't caught it already, is the doctor's office or the emergency room in the hospital.
Yes, so children with mild fevers should not go to the doctor, according to Dr. Susan Fisher-Hawk, an epidemiologist at the University of Texas School of Public Health. She spoke with us earlier this morning and is the author of the book Level 4, Virus Hunters of the CDC. Stay tuned. Newly Democratic Senator Arlen Specter is going to be unveiled at a press conference with his new party mates, Barack Obama and Joe Biden. Give us your switcheroo story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email why you would switch parties at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
I'm Daljit Dhaliwal.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.